Thank you so much, Emily. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 63 in the Word of God. And if you're visiting with us, we've been coming through a series now entitled A Journey in the Psalms. A Journey in the Psalms. And we've been taking and going through this book and different chapters in this book. And what I love about the book of Psalm is that it's very much applicable to you and I living today. It is a help. It's a guidance. It's really something that in our culture that ought to be sought at after each and every day, especially as we wake and we approach the day. It's an encouragement. It's a help. And at times it is even convicting. And we've been here in Psalm chapter number 63. So as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? And if your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect for the Lord's word today? And let me just say this, for ushers maybe that are in the back, Brother Darren, others, if we do have visitors come in, we do have some room in the overflow over here, and then our front rows are empty. The best seats in the house are right up front. I don't know, season ticket holders must not be here today, and so they are available up front. So if somebody comes in, let's not all stare at them, but we do have room up here, and we do have room over here in the overflow. We can grab some more chairs if we have to, but it is good to be in the Lord's house. We're going to begin here in Psalm chapter number 63. Would you look with me at verse number 1 and watch how the psalmist writes here. He says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. See thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. This morning I want to once again look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled, A Daily Reminder. A Daily Reminder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are holy. You are majestic. You're an incredibly awesome God. And Father, we get to have a relationship with you. Father, what a Savior you are. Father, be with the preaching now. I ask, Savior, that you would take away the distractions that Satan is already going to try to use to distract us from hearing the Word of God. Father, whether it be a cell phone, Father, whether it be an emergency, Father, whether it be even a bad spirit, perhaps even a bad attitude, God, may we at this moment put it aside. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say, that you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, I need you now. Savior, once again, may we walk out these doors rejoicing in who you are. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We began last week laying a foundation in this passage of Scripture. And this psalm we saw is often called the morning psalm. In fact, it's read by Jews still to this day. Before their worship or before anything else, they will come to Psalm chapter number 63 and read it and also try to live by it. David in this passage of Scripture is one of those rough times that he often was in his life. He'd been driven from his throne by his son Absalom and is headed across the northern edge of the wilderness of Judah that stretched way to the arid banks there in the wilderness of Judea. This very time of his life, he was away from his throne, away from his family, away from everything that would have been a sanctuary to him. And yet we read this psalm and there really is an attitude of eagerness and an attitude of earnestness and attitude of keenness. This attitude that was not a complaining attitude, which is really unbelievable when you begin to think about what David is going through with this time in his life. And once again, it's a reminder for you and I that although culturally speaking, although in society or maybe even in politics or maybe in a job or family life, maybe even marriage, things do not always go exactly the way that you and I want them to go. There are times in our life that we go through what the Word of God says is the ebb and flow of life. It's good at times, it's a mountaintop experience at times, but then you and I often go through those valleys. That valley is where we find David here in this passage of Scripture. And yet there is a daily reminder for us as David begins to pen these words. As we look at this psalm, may we first of all concentrate on, as we saw last week, number one, if you're taking notes, a priority and focus. Number one, a priority and focus. You see, there is a statement of testimony that we see here in verse number one. Would you look at it with me and watch very carefully what the psalmist penned? He said this, O God, Thou art my God. We saw last week, and I'm not going to pause here for very long this morning, but David had a testimony that God was his God. As I look around this room this morning, do you comprehend this? That I am not able to tell who is saved and who is lost. But the Bible is very clear today that all of us do have a testimony. Every one of us fit into one category or the other. There is not an in-between. There is not maybe I hope so, maybe so, think so. But all of us that live today fit into one or two categories. The Bible says that you and I either have a relationship with God or we do not. You and I are either saved or we are lost. There is no in-between. There is no you and I kind of, well, maybe we can work our way there. Or, well, maybe I hope so. No, friend, when it comes to salvation, either we have a testimony of salvation or we do not. Now, I'm going to move quickly through this, but let me just put it this way. As I said last week, in Indianapolis, in this area, there are a lot of really good people. This is a great place to raise a family. You say, Pastor, you've only been here for 3 months. Well, I seem to enjoy Indianapolis. I love Avon. I like the surrounding area. I love Cross Point Baptist Church and this family. If you're moved new to this area and you're looking for a church home, friend, you can stop looking. You found a great place right here at Cross Point Baptist Church. Somebody help me out with an amen, okay? Understand, I love this place. But let me say this. Good people, or just because they're good, doesn't mean they get to enter into the presence of God. You see, there's going to be, and I know not everybody likes this, there's going to be a lot of good people that will spend an eternity separated from Jesus Christ. You see, the day and age that you and I live, we don't like to talk about hell very much. But do you comprehend that the Word of God talks about hell more than it does heaven? We love to talk about heaven. We love to talk about a street of gold and gates of pearl. We love to talk about the face of Jesus. And just to tell you the truth, I am longing for that day, and I am very excited to see my Savior face to face. But the Bible does say this, that the Word of God is very clear that it's not religion that is going to get us there. You see, it's not attending church at Easter or Christmas time, or maybe putting some money in the offering plate or a little box at the back, or, giving to charity or voting right or being a very moral person. No, understand, if you and I lived 1,000 lifetimes, we still could not work our way into heaven. You see, the only way that you and I could see our Savior face to face is to get back to the Bible. Not what mom and dad says, not what grandma and grandma thought, not what this preacher over here preached, and this preacher over here preached. Well, the Pope said this, and they said this, and televangelist said this. And to be honest with you, I'm real confused. Well, comprehend, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And if you and I are going to stand on anything, may it not be religion. May it not be the church house. May it not be man. But may it be by the very Word of God that is clear that you and I can have a relationship with Him. You see, the Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know what that word whosoever means? That means this, anybody, everybody. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter, well, you understand, preacher, I spent some time in jail and my family tree is this and you don't know how many people I've hurt and you don't know the sin that I'm involved in. Friend, you're exactly right. I do not. And to be honest with you, I'm not a mediator. I am not someone that you come and tell me and I'll forgive you of your sin. No, friend, any religion that teaches you that is a false religion. The Bible says that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, do you realize that that is for you and that is for me? He saved us. He came to this earth. He died. They did not take His life, friend. He willingly gave His life for you and for me. If you're thankful for that, say amen this morning. You see, the Bible says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The book of Acts said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The book of Romans says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The book of Ephesians said it like this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Titus said it like this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That means this, friend. Now, I know, look, somebody made fun of me the other day and said, I say, buckle your seatbelt. I'm just telling you, buckle your seatbelt because I got a lot to say. And we got baptisms and we got visitors. And I promised somebody we'd be out of here by 1 o'clock. So I'm going to keep my promise, okay? It's a total joke. Some of you just got very nervous. Now, listen, understand this. You and I can have a relationship with Him. And do you know the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life is not climbing a corporate ladder, or should I move jobs, or who am I going to marry, or should I go here, or what am I going to eat for lunch, or what church do I pick? Listen, that's the greatest decision that you are ever going to make is, do you accept God's salvation or do you reject God's salvation? And friend, if you walk out of this door saying, well, I don't think I have to make that choice, you already made your choice, friend. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Friend, let me ask you today. Look, this is why a lot of people say, well, that's why I don't like church. You know, it's pressure. It's this. The greatest decision you could ever make is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, I can't even say it without putting a smile on my face. He puts a pep in my step. He gives me love and joy and peace. That let me put it this way. Fox News and CNN, you're never going to get it from them. But you'll get it from our Savior. Oh, you'll get it from Him. What a God that you and I serve. He said, oh God, thou art my God. But look at verse number 1. Watch what He says here. And I'm going to move quickly because we got to pause here in just a minute. But it says, early will I seek thee. You know what's important to us is what we're going to do in the morning. How many this morning, you don't have to say amen, but just think about it. How many like coffee? Just think about it. Isn't coffee just so good? Man, I'm not a coffee, what they call a coffee snob, but I happen to really like coffee. I mean, it doesn't matter from the best up at Cabin Coffee down to the least, whatever you might say. Look, I like Folgers and McDonald's and everything in between. I just like the caffeine. Look, do away with the coffee. Just give me the caffeine. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I just say amen right there. I'm just saying, in the morning, what's one of the first things I do, Carrie? I head to the Keurig machine. Oh, buddy, put it in there. Push the little button. No water. Got to go get water. Fill it up with water. Come back. Push the little button then. Man, I'm just telling you, the smell of coffee. Oh, now we can get on with our day. You know, a lot of us, we got up this morning. What do? We checked the score. Teenagers check TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and others check where their 401k is, how'd their stock do. How many calls do we miss? You know what David said? Early will I seek thee. He said this, watch, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I said it last week, I'm just going to say it again this week. Do you and I thirst for our Savior? You see, in a day and age where we spend more time getting physically ready for church than we do spiritually ready, it's because we don't thirst for Him anymore. Say all you will about America, friend. I still happen to love Old Glory. I love the red, white, and blue. I love our country. I'm a patriot through and through. And man, I'm thankful for our men and women who around the country, around the globe today are protecting us. And man, they're keeping us safe. And man, I am so thankful for that. But to be honest with you, we've become so used to just living the spoiled life here in our country. We don't really need Him. 2020 was an awful year and it was a tough year, but say, friend, I don't think any of us were starving. We still were here in church. We have friends and family and Facebook that everything came to. We just kept right on rolling. Friend, do we thirst for Him? Do we come into church not worried about, well, hope I get my way, hope I get my parking spot, hope I'm able to sit in my seat. Well, I don't know, Pastor Chris, I don't know. You know, we're going to sing this song today. I requested a long time ago. Pastor, last week you did go to 11:52, and my goodness, I was a little bit late getting over there to my restaurant. And or do we come in with an attitude of, oh God, I thirst for Thee, I want Thee, I need something for my heart and my family and my kids and my wife, and I need something for my grandkids. God, may it start with me today. See, the Bible says it like this: blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is our God. If you're looking for something to fill a void in your life, it is not going to be a check from the government. It is not going to be a second vaccine. It is not going to be good news from around the globe. It is not going to be the eradication of COVID-19 or all those things, good without a doubt. Would we like all those things? Yes, but I'm just here to tell you, friend, if all of those things came and you still don't have Jesus, you're still going to be thirsty for a hole that's in your life. We have to have Him. My soul is thirsty. It's hungry. My God, I need Thee. You see, first of all, we see a priority and focus, but secondly, we saw a power from God desired. Look at verse number 2. Watch what the Bible says. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Isn't it amazing that David was on the run from the wilderness of Judah? And yet this thought is amazing. David missed the power of God. What David missed most was God's house and watching Him work. A place where people came and mourned, and people came and friends were together. And he missed a place of prayer, the sanctuary of God, a place where people would come together in public and worship. It's what he missed. And friends, we saw last week that this past year has been difficult. It's been tough. But what did we miss as we went through last year? We missed restaurants. We missed the days before Mass. Did we miss the days before social distancing? Did we miss the days of maybe this politician or this politician? Or what was it that we missed the most? What David says here is, look, I miss seeing the power of God. Friend, do we miss church? In a day and age where we make so little of church, friend, I will never stop making much of the local church. In a day and age, we put everything on the schedule, and if church fits in, then we'll get there. But first we've got practice, and first we got to be here, and first we got ball games, and first we got to be on this, and first we got shopping, and first we got the lake, and first we got friends and family, and first and first and first until finally the day and age on our schedule it comes. You know, if I can fit it in, you know, we'll try to be there. We'll try to make it. I mean, how many times have we gone and we've been passing out these tracts and we've been passing out these invites? And how many excuses do we get, Pastor Dan? Well, you know, if I can be there, you know, well, I got a lot going on. Busy, busy. Aren't we all so busy today? Yeah. Let me be honest and say, we're all busy. I mean, look, it's the day and age we live. Now, none of us, let's get out our phones and let's compare it. Well, Brother Donnie, are you busy and me? No, okay, I don't know. Well, Brother George, you more busy? You never know, you're more busy than us. Yo, Brother Mancroni, I don't know. You know, I've got all this going on and you don't. And so let's just start comparing. To be honest with you, it doesn't matter if you are retired or you are 15 years old. We all feel like we're busy, do we not? I said it over and over. I don't know why he gets offended. Look, I like the Andy Griffith days. I know Carrie's going to say, you've mentioned Andy Griffith a lot. Okay. But they've been running reruns on TV land, and I've been getting a lot in here lately. And so I'm telling you, some gossip got in there, and Mayberry just the other day. And I thought the whole thing was going to implode, but Aunt B finally got right, and we're on our way, friend. We're on our way. Understand? But what I love about that show is just that it's a slower pace of life. But to be honest, friend, we're not going back there. I mean, we can wish it and want it and hope it, but we're not going back there. I mean, we loved, Brother Harvey and I talked, we loved it the first of the pandemic. Well, a lot of us got to go home. We were there and furlough. We were this. Boy, it was wonderful. And we got a break. But to be honest, after about 2 days, we are missing our busy lives. But we miss church. Do we miss meeting with God? Do we miss who He is? We miss the hymns that are up on the screen, and we get to sing out. We get to sing about His grace and His love. Do we miss the power of God? Let me tell you something, friend. When the power of God gets in a place like here at Cross Point Baptist Church, you and I better watch out, because it is going to set a blaze in the Indianapolis area. Well, that'll never happen. With that attitude, you're exactly right. We believe in the power of God. Watch, friend, what takes place. You see, the priority, the power, but I want you to write this down. And here's where we're going to slow down a little bit. Number three, there is praise that is given. Look at verse number three here and watch what the Bible says. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. My lips shall praise thee. Our lips ought to praise Him. Why? Because it's all about Him. Not just in church, but around town. On our social media, to our neighbors, to a loved one. As we saw in the last Psalm, you and I have to stop living a life of complaining and start living a life of praising. It's you and I getting up and loving everything about this book. It's you and I getting up and maybe even starting in a psalm like Psalm 63. And maybe every single day come to verse number 3 and just begin to mention all the ways that you and I can praise Him. Praise the Lord that we're here today. Praise the Lord that the lights are on. Praise the Lord that I don't think anybody ran to church today. It was a new car, an old car. We got in our cars today and we drove here. Praise the Lord for our health. Praise the Lord for what you and I have been given. Praise the Lord for nourishment. Praise the Lord for family. Praise the Lord. Listen, just start naming the attributes of God and just start thinking about who He is. Look, as we open up this psalm, we absolutely can come to a place where we say, David had a right to kind of say, well, Lord, to be honest with you, I got this old stinking rotten son. He's run me out of my palace, and it's not fair, and how dare him? And here we go again. This is Saul 2.0. I'm going to have to go live in caves, and this is awful, and this is not good. But no, what we see right here in the very Word of God was a man who did not concentrate on all the negative around him, but he began to praise the Lord. Now look at verse number 4. Now watch. This might upset some, but you know what? It's in here, so we're just going to say, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Lifting up my hands. You see, lifting your hands, we see this oftentimes in the Word of God, from God's people towards God. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The psalmist said in Psalm 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Lamentation said, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The psalmist said in Psalm 141, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up my hands as in the evening sacrifice. You see, you and I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, but worshiping Him without holiness is not worship. No, worship is adoration towards the one who is worthy. No one in this room is worthy to be praised today. None of us. You and I may come in here and say, well, I've given this much, and I've done this, and I built a Sunday school, and I built this ministry, and I played here, and I've been the main pianist, and I've been the main song leader, and I've been the welcome person, I've taught this, and I ran this bus round. It kind of sounds like somebody in the Old Testament by the name of Satan who began to exalt himself above the very name of God. Friend, look, when you and I walk in heaven, I kind of preached this several weeks ago in that psalm. Well, I think sometimes we think that we're going to walk into heaven and everybody's going to be cheering. Oh, look at me. And the ministry I built, look what I did. Look how much money I gave. Look. Just to be honest, friend, I hate to bust somebody's bubble here, but when you and I get to heaven, it's not all about us, but it's all about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And friend, when it says lifting up thy hands, I'm just going to put it real clear this morning. I know we got visitors here, but you know what? It's in the verse. We're going expositorily through, so let's exegete the scripture for just a minute. When it says the lifting up of hands, I really mean this when I say I believe that other denominations have scared us as Baptists to death to really praising and worshiping God. We act like we got to get in. We got to be quiet as a mouse and be quiet. It's got to be this and our song and our this and don't you dare do that. Boy, I'm just telling you, we just got to be all huffy puffy and it's got to be my way and what I want. This is it. Look, friend, it's not about us. It's about Him. And let me tell you something. Let me just put it real clear. Watching the other day, happened to be a Tar Heel fan. Oh, they were so awful in this tournament. It's literally embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as Ohio State, you know what I mean? But anyways, I just did. That is not preaching. That's totally flesh, I assure you. But let's be real clear. Watching this tournament, whether you're into it or not, we get excited, do we not? Well, our boys here at Cross Point won the state tournament, state champion in basketball. I got here, and I'm just telling you, old Pastor Shepherd rallied those boys together, and they won state. It had nothing to do with me. It just Tommy and I and the girls happened to be at the game. I'm telling you, well, I've got it on video. Should have, Brother Darren, I should have played it this morning. When those boys, that timer went off, nobody's sitting there like this. Oh, bravo. Bravo. Dude, I'm here to tell you, those moms and dads went nuts. Crazy. Excited. Wow, yeah. What's everybody doing? Man, I'm telling you, there's no social distance at that moment. High-fiving, chest bumps, people we don't even know. I mean, we're going nuts. And it's, wow, we won. Yeah. Wow. Let me just tell you, we're excited. Why can't we get excited about the things of God? You know, look, may it never be about a show here at Cross Point Baptist Church. Now, let's be honest. We've got this here today, and I love these girls to death. Hannah and Emily both are seniors here. Now, before we sit here and try to critique what Hannah played on the piano, let's be honest, we didn't pay money to come hear Hannah play today. This was not a concert. Miss some notes? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a pianist. Let's just be honest. That was not for us. That was for her Savior.
Yeah. Good.
You see, Emily is up here. Emily, is that how you spell your name, Pastor Chris? It's a very odd way to spell Emily, but nonetheless. Talk to her parents about this. Anyways, and Emily stands up here and sings. Can't we say amen to the Lord who she was singing about? Somebody raises their hand in church. Amen. You know what that's for? That's not for us. Mm-hmm. Been hanging around them Pentecostals again, have you? No. They're talking to our Savior. Well, Pastor Shepherd, this is how it goes. You know, you start this, and where does it end? It is a slippery slope, too. I'm so sick and tired of hearing slippery slope. Friend, this is not anti-Christian. It happens to be biblical to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not talking about talking and speaking in tongues in here. No, that nonsense has got to go. But, friend, I'm just here to tell you, if we can hoop and holler over a ball game, can somebody get excited over a Christ who came to this earth and happened to love us so much that He spent some 30-plus years here and He began to heal and He began to talk to and He began to watch turn this world upside down and the love and the kindness and the grace and the peace and the mercy that it began to spread. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, it spread like a wildfire. But then at the end, He said, I'm going to give up my life. Why? For you and for me. And He stretched out His hands on an old rugged cross and He took His last breath and it wasn't, yeah, you watch. Oh, I'm coming back. Oh, I'll get you. Know what He said? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He stretched it out. His last words were this: it is finished. Can we not just say amen and get excited about a God that did that for you and for me? Look, I'm not, let's make it real clear. I'm not talking about putting on a show where let's all right, you're first, start running the aisles. You're second, let's do it. Everybody follow me. Oh, crazy. Rolling around on the ground. The holy laughter's got to come in. No, I'm talking about let's just get to the Word of God. That says we ought to be excited about what God has done.
What a Savior that you and I have. I often wonder, church, why doesn't the world want what we want? We have. Let me say it again. Listen. Why doesn't the world want what we have? Do you know, do I realize that I have it all? Make me stay in a mask for the rest of my life. Make me stay indoors for the rest of my life. Put every kind of rule and regulation on me, and I still have it all. You see, every person that has tailgated, every person that has got drunk this last week, this weekend, today, as games are already taking place right now, so you're checking the scores, just stop for a little bit. Listen, every one of them, you know what they need? They don't need another bottle. They need Him. They can drink and drink and drink. They'll never be filled. The person this past week in Marion County that finally did it in, and they OD'd. Right here, in our county, in our Jerusalem. I spent the last couple of days up there in the hospital. You know what they need? They don't need another needle. You know what they need? Jesus. That's what they get. That's what they need. But why is it in a day where we have it all, they're not running to us to get it? Not all, but I'm afraid a part of that is because we've become so religious. We've become so schedule-oriented that we are just as guilty as every other false religion out there. But here's David. He's on the run. He's got to get away. And yet, what is he thinking about? Not himself. He's thinking about God. You see, Pastor Blake, you see, Brother Mel, you see, Brother Hughes. I think in a day and age where we bring our families to church, it can't be just thinking about what we want. Brother Ted, there has to come a time in our lives, even right here, where we get back to the Bible and just say, Lord, I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be all about You. David could have taken all of Psalm 63. Now listen, don't shut your Bibles, but I promise I'm almost done. Watch out. So he could have taken all Psalm 63, and he really could have. Now look, he really could have complained about everything that was taking place in his life, but he didn't. We know that. So what does he begin to do? He begins to think about and praise God. Now I'm supposed to already be through verse number 7, and I'm not. So we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna get right back into this next week. But let's watch. So what did David do? He set himself to the side and he began to praise God. Now listen, watch. We have revival. We have a meeting that is scheduled that we call revival. And I know this. And Jim, we had a great talk about this. Did we not? Revival can't be scheduled. Okay? Revival starts with us. It starts in the heart. Now we're going to schedule services. We're going to have a preacher in. And he's dynamic and wonderful. He plays the tuba or trombone or something. Or the trumpet. He plays the trumpet. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be wonderful. But let's just stop for a minute and just think. What would happen if right here at Cross Point Baptist Church, now watch, tune in, what would happen if you and I just stopped for a moment and began to praise Him? Because we get on our knees doesn't make us more holy. Just because we kneel at an altar doesn't mean, yeah, look at me, I'm the holy one, you guys, God's not going to answer your prayer. No. But there is something about humbling ourselves before God and just praising His name. Now, church, there is no pressure on anyone today. But dads, all dads, look up here for just a moment. What if dads, for just a moment, we stopped and we just said, Lord, with my family, I want to praise you. I just want to praise you. Single moms, you're single mom in here today. What would happen if we came and we just, maybe at the altar or maybe where we sat and we just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Maybe for just a moment, we stop judging everyone else. David said, I'm going to raise my hands to the God, to our God. May we stop for just a moment and stop making it all about, well, I don't know, Emily, did you hit every no fair right? And boy, I'm just telling you, I think if you did it again, you could do a little bit better. No, where was Emily's heart? Where was Emily's heart this morning? It's towards God. Yeah. Maybe for a minute, let's just contrary. Well, Hannah, you could have done a little bit better there. You know, when I played that, you know, several years ago, I never missed that. Maybe just for a moment, let's stop judging everything else. Let's get on board with the seniors in high school and start praising him. Friend, in just a moment, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there'll be others that will come to the altar and pray. Friend, I assure you, they always turn my microphone off. Would you meet me right down front? Meet Pastor Dan right down front. We want to share with you the gospel. But friend, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, maybe for a moment, let's stop. And let's just for a moment get excited about God. Let's just for a moment maybe come down to the altar. If you can't make it down, maybe sit right where you're at in your seat. Maybe you'd like to stand. But maybe for a moment we just stop and say, Lord, it's all about you.